for the first time. And as I usually say, I can't say this enough, because this is an experiment. It's not, you're not here so that I can teach you something, or that I know things that you don't know, even though if in some cases I might be aware of things that would be new to you. It's not the important aspect of this get-together, because it's an experimental interchange of energy with those forces that I have learned to call group souls, who seem to be the principal representatives or emissaries or in-between agents of all that is in us. And it's kind of a fairly new idea. And one of the things is, since we can't see them, we kind of have to figure out if it's real or not, in a roundabout way. So we're going to go into that in just a moment. In the meantime, I want to check in everybody that's on the call so we know who's here. We have Jackie, Robert, Robin, Bobby, Roxanne, was that right?
Yeah.
And Anna, and Karen, and let me see. Robin, Bobby, and Roxanne are your friends. They probably have not read my book, right?
Bobby and Roxanne have not. But we
have not.
We have a small Search for God study group, and this is our meeting night.
Oh, a Search for God. Oh, far out. So this is, you guys are very familiar with Edgar Casey then, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, because that was one of my original influences. Good. I'm glad I knew that. And so, who else? Let's see, I have Jackie, Robert, Robin, Bobby, Roxanne, Anna, and Karen, and Suzanne. Who else did you check in?
We have Gary and Marianne.
Okay.
Bill. Kathy.
Is that Bill in Oregon?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Okay. Bill, Kathy?
Yes, we have Karen in Tucson.
Okay.
And you got Jackie, I believe?
Yes.
And Anna.
Okay.
And with Anna is Rebecca and Munyon.
And Munyon?
Yes.
Munyon.
Yes.
Munyon.
Munyon.
Yeah, Rebecca, are you there? Yeah.
Is that Munyon that rhymes with Bunyan? Bunyan, right? Close.
Close.
Thank you.
Then we have Jean.
Okay.
And Margaret.
Okay.
And that's where then you came on the air. There are several beeps, though.
Anybody else?
Wayne.
Carol.
Yes, Francis. Aaliyah.
Francis. And who is that?
Aaliyah,
is this your first time?
That's right.
How did you hear about us?
I heard your interview on World Puja and really, really was moved by it. I just heard it the other day. I went into the archives and found it.
Oh, far out. Send Maureen Wolf an email. Tell her how much you liked it.
I sure will.
Ask her when I'm coming back again.
Okay.
Okay, and who else is there?
Hi, it's Muriel from Los Angeles.
Hi, Muriel.
Hi, everybody. Good to be back.
Okay.
And welcome to the lady that just called.
All right.
I love it.
And who else? That's it. All right.
Do you hear a crackling noise from my phone, Wynn?
No.
Okay, good.
No,
I'm
not
the only one that hears it then. That's good.
Oh, there's somebody. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yes, this is Maisie from Tomahawk, Wisconsin.
Hi, Maisie.
Hi, hi.
Well.
Hello.
Okay.
All right. Well, now that I've got you all online, I'm going to mute you all, but I'll have you come back later. You can, if you want, you can all say hello to everyone that's listening on BBS. 1, 2, 3.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everybody
hello.
On BBS Radio around the world.
Okay. Thank you. You guys are sure corny. I guess I'm the leader here. So.
All callers are muted.
Okay, I muted everybody. This is the one time I have like total control here. I can push the button and then they can't hear you all. So You know, we have three people from an Edgar Cayce study group in Illinois, and I'm so honored to share this with someone that's been so influenced by Edgar Cayce, because now I always tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check it out. Study it, because there's something that's been amazing going on here. And I would say like you guys, if you thought Edgar Cayce was in the world, you'd probably be clapping and shouting. And that's what I did when I first discovered David Wilcock. And, you know, since... Maybe I'll just give you like a 1 minute thing of all the things tying David Wilcock to Edgar Cayce. And if the people that have been on the line have heard this over and over again, so bear with me, because these are three special people that are in a Search for God study group, which is one of the things that I believe started back in Edgar Cayce, when Edgar Cayce was still alive. And David Wilcock was 26 years old, and he was living in New Paltz, New York in 1996, and he read a book on dreams, and he started writing his dreams down. And in the morning, he looked at his pad and expected to see dreams. Instead, he found messages like somebody was talking to him and giving him personal counseling. So he... thought he was making it up, but every night he would put a pad by his bed, and I think on the third or fourth day there was a prediction in one of his messages about something that would happen to him, and it was very precise, and 2 days later it happened, not only on the day but on the time. And so now he knew that whoever was talking to him was not part of his own consciousness. And for the next year he just didn't talk about this, but rigged up his bedroom with tape recorders and all kinds of stuff, and was writing messages and pages of information that he was channeling. And he really had no idea that he was Edgar Cayce or that he had a connection with Edgar Cayce. But after a year, his dream voice asked him to move to Virginia Beach. And he did. And he knew who Edgar Cayce was. And when he was in Virginia Beach, people started staring at him. He actually visited the ARE, and he happened to be the spitting image of a young Edgar Cayce. And he then asked his voice a question, and he said, "Why do I look like Edgar Cayce?" And the answer was, "Because you were Edgar Cayce. And if you study Edgar Cayce, you'll see all the parallels. But this lifetime, if you do your highest purpose, you won't do past life readings and health readings, but you will explain to your planet this dimensional shift that's happening. And I will help you and guide you through this." And so David kind of freaked out. He didn't know how to deal with this, so he spent the next year and a half studying Edgar Cayce. And he found out that not only did he look very much like Edgar Cayce, and by the way, there's a guy by the name of Walter Simku who wrote a book called Return of the Revolutionaries that actually has spoken at the ARE, I believe. And what he's done is he's put together a book of people who are political figures today who had a past life in the revolution. And his premise is that people tend to look like their past lives. And the way he put his book together was he went to a channel, Kevin Ryerson, and said, "Who was President Clinton?" And then his channel said he was thus and thus. And then when they looked up that person, it was very often the very close resemblance to President Clinton or a number of political figures. So the reason this is so is because when you die, your soul memorizes your DNA, and then when it comes into a new body, it programs a new body with the same DNA as your past life, or a similar programming, in addition to your parents, in addition to other factors. So if you had a strong expression in your past life, the chances are highly likely that you'll look like your past life. And, of course, Edgar Casey said that the same people come back over and over again, and we meet our associates, but we don't recognize them, and because we don't remember them. So in David's case, he found out that he was Casey, or that they said he was Casey, and that he looked like Casey. And then he found out his father was the spitting image, or very closely resembled Casey's father. And his girlfriend at the time closely resembled, I should say his friend. I don't think they were romantic, but they were fake friends. They recognized each other. Closely resembled Casey's wife, Gertrude. And then as he studied Casey, he found out that Edgar Casey, in his own readings, predicted that he would return in 1998 and may be a liberator of the world. And then he found out that Edgar Casey had a dream that he would be back in Virginia Beach and be surrounded by his old acquaintances. So the particular prediction in Casey, I remember when I read Casey, it was an interesting prophecy. Because it actually, if you're familiar with Ra-Ta, who was an early incarnation of Casey, it said the priest will return in 1998 and may be a liberator of the world. And, the final thing tying David to Casey was his astrology chart. He had five personal planets in the same sign as Casey: Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars. And there's one chance in 260,000 that configuration should repeat itself. So whether you believe in reincarnation or not, whether you believe in David Wilcock as Edgar Casey or not, the statistical probability connecting him to Casey is billions to one. Three people that closely resemble the same, actually there's more than three, but I'm quoting three that closely resemble, including himself, in Casey's life. Then we have one in 260,000 astrological correspondence. Then we have fulfillment of a prophecy that Casey made, that his voice guided him to fulfill. And the important thing is, goes far greater than the fact that David might be Edgar Casey, because the voice that spoke through Edgar Casey, if I'm correct, was now speaking through David, and they identified themselves in a way that they never did through Casey. And I'm going to give a moment for questions, particularly from the Casey group, because I hope I'm getting all my Casey information right. And if I've got it wrong, feel free to correct me or make a comment. But in Casey's life, he channeled a lot of different people. He channeled Archangel Michael. He channeled, but his main squeeze or his main source identified itself as a source, or the source. And they never identified themselves any further than that. And Casey sometimes spoke of his source as the Christ. And, of course, Casey came from a fundamentalist Christian background. So now, who is the source speaking through David? They describe themselves in a little more detail. And it's very fascinating if you put it all together and see how it all fits like a missing piece of a great cosmic puzzle, because David's source describes himself as a group soul of millions or billions of individual souls that have graduated from physical existence, that had gotten off the wheel of reincarnation, so to speak, not only on our planet, but on other planets, and that they acted as a helper and a guide for planets at lower levels of evolution. And they called themselves the Ra group through David. And it was implied that Jesus was actually a member of this group that took a series of incarnations here, and that they said that in many cases throughout our history, they have been the consciousness that was responsible for the starting of religions, the starting of spiritual movements, back to the Vedas, back to, you know, many, many things. They may not be the only one that's doing that. And in fact, in some cases, there may be negative sources that have been involved that we thought of as God. And that's more deep than I can go into in this little talk. But obviously, this is really, really controversial. And it's understandable that the ARE had a hard time deciding whether they could endorse David or not. And it's too controversial, you know, to say that David's channeling a group soul that Jesus was part of. It's like the ARE would probably be backpedaling in support for their what they have out, and the credibility they built for Casey. But in any case, this gets really far out, and that is that here I am writing the book, and of course, while I'm writing it, 2 years into writing it, I have a friend who spontaneously starts the channel, and the voice that comes through her identifies itself as the Council of Elohim. And you know, I hope that when I tell you this story, I can't tell all the details, and many of the people on this line have heard the story over and over and over again, so I'm telling it really on your behalf, but the book, you know, Robin has the e-version of it, and right now, I mean, I will look at that book as being my next published book, but right now, if you ask for it, you get it for free, or Robin can share it with you, because I am, like, pretty overwhelmed with the importance of putting this out into the world, because if I have it right, there are these two group souls. One is the Elohim group, and Elohim is the name of God in the Old Testament, and the other is the Ra group, that are both intervening on our planet and both attempting to connect and help us right now. The Elohim group was a group soul, is a group soul that didn't have bodies. They existed. This is the original creative energies prior to the beginning of the universe. Now, don't believe anything I tell you. I'm telling you how they describe themselves. These are the original creative energies, and they are presently, they are outside of time. They say they can jump in and out of time, and that they've never had bodies, or the ones of them that did come and take bodies got stuck here by and large. And so the ones we've been talking to say they haven't had bodies. And of course, this is all really controversial. And again, I say, you have to read it. You have to read what happened to me. And you have to read their words, both group souls. You have to read their words, because the proof is in the pudding as to who they are, if they are real, if they're positive. These are all questions that I tell everyone to ask. Don't take anything I say for granted. Now, let me just open up the line for a second and see if I have any questions on the stuff that I've talked about. Just a moment, okay?
All callers are unmuted.
All right, the conference line is unmuted. And does anyone have a question or a comment on anything I've said, particularly the people in the ARE group?
Well, this is Robin. I think everything that you've said about Casey, I've been studying Casey for 34 years, and it certainly jives with what I know of him.
Yeah, did you read the book, Robin?
The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I wrote you.
Okay. I can't remember. I remembered you wrote me. Great.
Yeah, and then you kind of were rather insistent that I participate in the conference calls. I probably would have hedged a little while longer if you hadn't been so insistent. And while I was on the phone with Suzanne, I realized my name is Robin, which was
Did I hear Bonnie in there? Okay. Robin.
Yeah.
And Roxanne.
Right.
And that's interesting.
And Roberta.
Roberta, right.
For Bobby. Aaliyah.
And Aaliyah. Aaliyah, well, I don't know.
Elohim?
Aaliyah sounds like Elohim, doesn't it? Elohim. You're right, Elohim. And you know.
Well, that's
what
hit Gwen was Marielle. Elohim. That's when I struck me like lightning.
Mm-hmm. How did I get in this group? Okay, great. Thank you for sharing that, Robin. The reason these conference, okay, I'm going to mute you all. Anyone else have a comment before I mute you?
Yeah, this is Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Robert,
right?
Yes, Robert. Could you tell me or tell us what David Wilcott is doing now?
I could. I'll tell you very briefly. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, now, to share what David's doing, I have to share it from my perspective. And this, he may not say it or look at it this way, so let me just say I'm just trying to explain it as I see it from here. When David...
All callers are unmuted.
Okay. When David first made himself known, when he first put up a website, he was putting up channelings day in and day out and day in and day out, and he was trying to make predictions of the future, and he was making certain predictions. And he was getting a huge amount of flack for tying himself in with Edgar Cayce. And his channelings were not completely consistent. And some of them seemed to be really right on, and some of them seemed, you know, okay. And David's own source, if the source was the Ra Group, had said both David and Cayce had opened themselves up to negative influences at different times. And that, in fact, one of the things that came out in the book was David's source, which now is identifying itself as the Ra Group, went through an old prophecy of Cayce's and said that wasn't them and it was the wrong information. And that was the devastation prophecy, where, I can't remember exactly, New York would go down in the blink of an eye, Tokyo would go down, Europe would disappear. And that was Cayce's most famous prophecy. And I believe he said it was going to happen around the year 2000, and it never happened. And not only did it create fear, but when it didn't happen, people tend to discredit Cayce and saying, well, that didn't happen. What do you think about the rest of his stuff? So when you're dealing with channelings, this is a very, very, very careful and tricky thing that we're doing that when you're putting channelings out, because it's possible to make a mistake and have a negative source. And I feel myself an awesome responsibility, and that's why I always tell people, please use your own scrutiny and your own discernment when you even listen to my stuff. But in David's case, it was so controversial. Let me just say, somebody that's a moderator is making a little bit of noise because I have everyone muted. So to have that noise on, you have to be a moderator. So I don't know if Wayne, if you're making noise, or Suzanne,
no,
or
not me,
not you,
not me.
Or Jackie, not Jackie, Kathy. Try to mute your own phone personally or do star six because there's a little background.
No, it's not me.
Not you. Okay. All right. So David started talking, instead of putting his channelings out, he started focusing on explaining things kind of metaphysically, and also explaining the negative elite. And right now we are in this critical period of between the dark and the light, and it's hard to figure out how to put it out. There's not a lot of time. Time is running out. And I know myself, the way that I'm putting it out the way I am, and I mean, it's like people fall flat. They can't believe that someone is doing what I'm doing, and sometimes I get up and it's like I'm living in a science fiction movie. So the easiest thing to put out are things that are facts and documented. Like, for example, there were two chapters that David did in the book which kind of model the way he has been mostly putting himself out now, which is all the changes in the solar system and the planets getting hotter and the planets getting brighter. And right now the whole solar system is in a transformation. And it's, you can validate it by science. You don't have to get metaphysical. And it's because we are at the end of a 75,000-year cycle. And David felt the way to put this out, the way that I believe David felt, you know, came to the conclusion that saying he was Casey, one of the things is it gave too much attention to David. And it was a little scary to have that much attention, because maybe if people actually believed it, there might be too much expectation. And what if we put out a negative reading or something that came from a negative source? So, and also another thing is that if you studied Casey, you know that Casey ended up dying prematurely because he got very famous with the book that Thomas Sugre wrote at the end of his life, There is a River, and he started getting bags of mail from people that needed help. And Casey was trying to help everybody, and he was doing readings, and I think he was doing 8 readings a day, and his source had told him that he shouldn't do more than 2 readings a day, and he died. And the alleged reason was because of all the readings he was doing. So I think subconsciously, and of course this is me taking the take on this, I think David was a little concerned that if he was putting his channelings out, he was doing readings for a while, and I had a reading from David that was quite awesome, but if he was doing readings, that he would end up having the same dilemma that Casey had, you know, this crisis in consciousness where everybody needs your help, and you don't want to turn people down. So what David is doing now is he's speaking at expos. He's talking about things. You can go look at him on YouTube. He's got if you do David Wilcock YouTube, there's a lot of videos of him talking, and he's not denying the Casey connection. He does talk about it, but he's not emphasizing it. And I think the reasons that I just said are the reasons why. I know that I talk about it a lot, and I'm more freer to talk about it than he is, because, at least I was, because people would look to him, you know. I can say things that are easier for me to say than for him to say. And, but initially, he was just trying to figure out, his source told him, you're supposed to put this out in the world, and he's trying to figure out what's the best way to do that. Right now he's making a movie called Convergence, where he's talking about the dimensional shift in the movie, and that's one of his goals this life, to put that movie out. And he was a speaker. We were both speakers at the Conscious Living Expo in Los Angeles. So that's what David's doing. And so moving right along, here I am having conversations with the Elohim, and while I'm having conversations with the Elohim, you know, it's a wild story, and I urge you to read it, because two women in a row started channeling them, And I'm asking all these questions about what's in my book, about the dimensional shift and this transformation that's going on, this end of a 75,000-year cycle, ascension. And I'm getting the same answers as I was writing in the book. And when I originally started writing the book, I thought of it like as a scholarly exercise to just document this guy who I was convinced was Casey. And then, now I've got all these voices talking to me, and they're giving me the same information that's in the book, and it became a little bit overwhelmingly responsible, more responsibility than even now I can have a hard time handling. And also wanting to do the best job possible not to make a mistake. Because as I was communicating with these voices, and I had the Ra group speak to me also, and I had the Elohim group speak to me, and then I started getting dream messages, I started to experience that they could come into the space, that they were energies that could blend with my energy and with the people around me. And the first time I noticed this happen was when I gave a talk in San Diego, I guess about 2.5 years ago. And at that talk, as I was addressing the group there, I could actually see all the auras of everybody. I could feel this incredible energy in the room. And then when the talk was over, people would line up to buy books from Terry, and they would say, God, I could see auras in the room. I never saw so much energy in a room. And I started questioning myself about that. And then I'm channeling and I'm asking questions, and basically they just say, ask us questions. I asked them, I said, can you explain that? And they said, well, we're in the room with you. And they said they were blending with the energy of the room, and that's how it looks in this realm when they do that. And so then I'm thinking, my God, if you've read my story, you know I had a miracle of healing with my sister and all that stuff. So I said, how do I responsibly work this in the world? How do I do it? And I asked the question, I said, if I do a conference call, would you work with the people on the conference call? Could you come into the energies of that? And they said they would. And so that started, I guess, over 2 years ago with just a small group of people. And I kept saying, this is an experiment. Because the experiment part of this is not so much bringing forth information and the book part of it. It's the making the connection with these energies right now on these calls. And the Monday night call is kind of our most public call, so I'm explaining things. We have other calls going on almost every night of the week that amazing things are happening. And there's a great, great benefit for partaking in these calls. And if I'm correct, and if what's happening is happening, and if you can sense the energies, and before the call's over, I will do something that I'll be more specific about bringing their energies in so that those of you who are more sensitive can feel it. There's three things that are very important about this. Number one is, on these calls, there's a reference point of energy. And the reference point of energy is them. And when you can tune into that energy, you learn, it's like a radio receiver, you learn to tune into the frequency of them. And that if you do it repetitively, it becomes your own, where you can. And some of you may even have felt that energy yourself many other times, but not identified it in this way. And this is one of those things where, if it's a new vocabulary, you have to check it out and draw your own conclusions. Because I'm not going to say to believe this, but this has been my experience. So one of the things is to feel their energies and make a connection. And then it helps, they will help work with you. they want to connect with people down here directly. And this is a very clear, open pathway between them and here, a bridge, so to speak. Number two, when we bring these energies in and we bring them through our bodies and we anchor them to the earth, we are lifting the vibration of this realm. And this is of crucial importance right now because we are involved in a dimensional shift. And we are at the end of a cycle. And the way they're describing it is there's going to be a splitting of souls, those that graduate and those that repeat. And that if you're interested in graduating, they're giving the keys to graduate. They're explaining what that means. And you also get the keys to help other people. That there are many people that are borderline one way or the other. The key to graduation of this realm is keeping your heart chakra open slightly more than half. And one of the reasons I started doing the conference calls so regularly is that I realized that many people did not have people in their lives that they were that their hearts were open to in a really high way, and that even when they heard this information, and even when they could open their hearts on the line to each other and the feeling and the vibration, they would go back into their own space, and there was no one in their life that they had this relationship with, and that they weren't strong enough yet to hold it for people, other people. So it was my idea or my calling to say, you know what, if we do this regularly, then maybe create a new set of relationships for people that they can use so that they can keep their hearts open. And the last aspect of the importance of the connection with these group souls is that they have said over and over again that they can do interventions down here, but they do not violate free will, so they must be asked. So we're creating a bridge between us and them where if you study this circumstance, you read about it, you read the history of it, read my books, you check on the lines, there's an indication that they are paying attention to us right now. And they're paying attention to you right now. And that oftentimes it takes a group energy to get their attention. Many people have their energies contracted below the threshold of where they can be seen through the veil. And when we create a group energy, or we're blending our own energies on this call, we become visible through our group energy, and then we become individually visible, so that our prayer requests have more impact. So that's another value of these calls. Now, of course, some people have built these kinds of relationships up in their own way, in other venues, in other ways, in their religions, and this does not discount any of that because they don't care what you call them. They don't care if you call them a group soul or you call them God. And, you know, my way of explaining this is that the whole universe runs very much like our own physical bodies, where we have all these billions of cells in our body, and that's us, but we don't really communicate directly to ourselves, but there's groups of cells, like the heart, the brain, the nervous system, that communicate directly to the cells, and the universe works the same way. We are all cells in God, or all that is. And all that is does not separate itself from being all that is to be something that to talk to us directly. Now, this is my take on this. This is the way I think it works, that when there's a separation, it's part of all that is that's in communication with us, and that one of those major parts are these two group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, and there may be others. And there also are negative sources. So this is something that is tricky because, you know, just because somebody has a voice coming through them that says they're something doesn't mean that they are that, and it doesn't mean that they're positive. So in the book, it actually gives a criteria for that. But the key elements are free will. Does the source honor free will? Does it create fear? And do you feel loving energy around it? And if you don't, then you should look very carefully at who is giving you the information. So we've had different conference calls, and sometimes on these Monday night calls, we actually have a live channeling of these group souls from Terry or Daphne, and they address the group. And this is one of those things, if you're listening for the first time, you should study my material before you know, I'm not going to do that tonight because people need to study the material to see if it could be real. Because if it is, it's a major, major event that's happening on the planet. And we're doing conference calls every night of the week. I only do the Monday night call, and then I facilitate a Wednesday night call where we have a fellow named Matthew Edwards working with Terry, and we ask questions, and people actually submit questions about the things that are going on in their own lives. And it's my contention that Matthew is channeling part of the Ra group. And that's at Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, but it's on a different number than this one. So if you're interested in that call, please email me or email Suzanne, and we'll send that phone number to you. And then on Sunday morning, Gino Jeremiah in Madrid, Spain, moderates a call, which is kind of a planetary healing. And he does it in co-creation with Terry Brown, who is one of the people that started channeling the Elohim with me. And while that call is going on, Terry is looking at things from a higher perspective and commenting. And people are they're doing remote locations. Terry, are you on the line by any chance? No. Okay. People will drive to a location. They'll send the energy for healing to a location. And it's a two-hour call, and it's really high energy. And so those are three of our main calls. And then on Tuesday, this is actually a main call, too. Suzanne and Wayne do a call at 6 o'clock where we just read a channeling of Carla Ruckert, which is the Quo group. And the Quo group is part of the Ra group. And there's a huge amount of information about the dimensional shift and how things work in between dimensions, and very wise, and I very much respect your channelings. And so when we started this, we just started Tuesday nights reading them, and it's been consistent for about 2 years, and people have learned a great deal from those channelings, and that there's all kinds of things you can study and read, like there's a, if you go to higher-vision.org, it has a link to Dimensional Shift, which is a Yahoo group where we post all the channelings of Tuesday nights. And so
I am on the line.
Oh, you are on the line. Okay.
I am, yes.
So Terry is the person I was mentioning who has played a very, very important part in this for me, because she started out and kept the ball rolling with both the Elohim group and the Ra group channeling through her. And interestingly enough, it's in the book, if you're looking at the questions and answer book, at one point I asked Daphne if Terry had been somebody well known, and they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And then I looked up St. Catherine, and I found out that St. Catherine was the spitting image of Terry, or very closely resembled Terry, and that St. Catherine was known for channeling, and the Catholic Church had recognized St. Catherine's dialogues with God, and as part of their official literature. She was visiting a monastery, and she was a nun, and she would just start talking, and the other nuns would write down everything she said, and it became part of history. So there's a lot of little things like that like weave this all together to make it kind of real. And we have a few minutes left. Terry, I want to call in the light, okay? And before I do, do you have anything you want to share? We don't have time for a channeling. If you had said you were there before, I might have put you on. You're probably eating dinner anyway, right?
No, not that I'm driving, but I just, at some point I'd like to answer the question that somebody asked last week. I was just doing a little bit of channeling and getting a little bit of an answer about what if all the mining minerals that had been taken off of the earth plane were put back, what would the effect be? Anyway, I was getting somewhat of an answer, and sometime I wouldn't mind channeling an answer for him.
Okay, well, you know, Scott's not even on the line tonight, so let's leave it for a time that he's on the line, okay?
All right.
And we have just a little short time left. Before we go, we can continue on the phone line, but we're going to be checking off of BBS in 2 or 3 minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call in the light, which is really an invocation to the group soul energies, those energies in other realms, to come into our spaces. And that this is, many people can feel this when it's happening. And many people have had little miraculous things happen as a result of putting things in the light. So I'm going to call in the light, and then I'm going to say goodbye to everyone on BBS, and then we'll go around to everyone here and put our individual requests into the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. Right now, we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the Hunapku, from the center of our galaxy, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And if you shut your eyes, some of you will feel that energy. And you'll see a glowing light around your third eye. And now we're going to, those of you who are free willingly open to do this, we are going to ask to blend our energies. All of us on this line exist outside of time and space. So even though we are in separate physical locations, there's a place where we can meet, where we're one and connected. And so we're going to meet there right now. And as we meet, and as we create that blending of energies, we can feel the energy lifting. And we're now going to invite those group souls, those positive energies, service to others in the Christed light, to join with our energy. And we can feel ourselves, our little self, being part of this great, huge ball of energy, this great cosmic connection that we are making happen. We are causing it to occur by our intention. And we're moving it through our bodies and into the earth. And each of us is helping to complete the circuit of the great cosmos of energy radiating from the center of the universe into the earth through our bodies. On that note, we will now say goodbye to everyone at BBS Radio. And just keep in mind that they are invited to attend our other calls. They can email suzanne@higher-vision.org to find out the schedule. They can go to our website, higher-vision.org. Please read my book, Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Please get our free ebook, Questions and Answers with the Elohim. and we'll say goodnight to BBS Radio, and just to continue with those of us on the conference line, we've created this group energy. We've blended with the group, those group souls, and if you prefer to use the word God, that's fine. Doesn't matter. Just that they're positive, their service to others, operating in the law of one and the Christ of energy. And we create a big cloud of light spread over our entire United States. And we are creating it. We, by our attention, are creating it. We have this light. We can direct this light. We can direct it to the city. We can point it towards Los Angeles. We can point it towards New York City.
Hello?
Yeah. We can point it towards Boston.
All callers are muted.
We can point it towards Dallas. And you can point it towards your city. Just see that you're the conduit of bringing this energy through you, that it's moving through your home, through your neighborhood, and into your city. And that you're one of those who's asking for this energy to be present. Understanding that the positive sources need to be asked. And now we go around to each person and we put things in the light. And that means we take this energy that we have created as a group that now has us and them all connected together, and we create group your own individual intentions, which can be for personal healing, could be for sending the light to somebody you're working with, it could be for peace, it could be for anything. And the provisions of doing this is that it's for the highest good of all concerned. And that it's coherent with the law of one, which is another way of saying the highest good of all concerned. It means that something shouldn't happen if there's any losses along the way. It should be, sometimes we don't understand why somebody is suffering and the karmic lessons they're learning. And so even though someone might be suffering, there may be a higher purpose beyond our understanding. So we ask for the highest good of all concerned. And I ask right now that any interventions that can be done in this realm to put off any weapons of mass destruction, any service to self plans to create havoc, anything that can be done, I'd like to ask and put that in the light, that it be done for the highest good. And on that note, I'm going to unmute us.
All callers are unmuted.